this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on and hit in the air. The deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is good. I don't believe it. Once again, deja vu. A two-out, game-tying two-run home run by Scott Brosius. Probably the most unbelievable feat in World Series history.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, yeah. Inside the 10 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York, Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, taking your calls, talking the talk. The Knicks lose in overtime, 112-106. That's rough. They're obviously up 3-2 in the series, but the series should have ended, in my opinion, tonight. I know you're going to have a lot of blame to go around. I know there's going to be a lot of finger pointing. Nobody is above it. 877-337-6666. Ben is in Bernardsville, first up on The Fan.
Hey, Keith, what's going on?
I honestly can't believe from the time that I got here and set up what transpired at the end of that game in overtime, that's what's going on.
Bro, what just happened?
The Sixers didn't quit and they got all the breaks. Kind of like the Knicks usually do.
They really didn't. And, I mean, for the Knicks, that's just a crushing defeat. And I still think we're going to win the series, but I have a kind of a bad feeling about it right now.
Yeah, you should have a bad feeling about it right now. As I was just going over, you know, some of these first-round series are over, whether it was a sweep or a gentleman's sweep. You're banged up, and so are the Sixers, but when you can't start thinking it's over. You can't start looking to the second round as far as those guys, right? As far as you could tell in the beginning of that game, they shot 0-for-8. They were not ready to play, and I know that's been the story the whole series, but they let that one slip, and they could possibly regret that one. If they go down to Philly and lose, and then anything can happen in a game 7, you know it, I know it, everybody listening knows it. You were supposed to close them out on your home floor tonight.
This is just terrible. I mean, there's so many missed free throws down the stretch. I love you, Jalen, but you got to hit free throws. Mitch, I love you too, but you got to make that pass to OG in the fourth quarter. He's wide open, going to slam the ball.
They folded. They crumbled. Their legs get weak. It just starts to all kind of close in on you. You can feel the agony and angst of the fans all around you. And as the Sixers, you know, are the road team and they kind of strengthen up in that spot, it was peculiar. Usually you see the Knicks hold serve. You see the Knicks conditioning and tenacity and grit and hustle come through. But, man, I'm looking at that Maxey shot. What a joke that shot was.
I know. He's just killed us this whole series. He's the one guy that we haven't been able to stop.
And see,
it was Embiid for a little bit, but what did he have, 16, 17 points today? He did not kill
it. He was clearly hobbled. I'm sure he had a pounding headache the whole game. But
and as the series goes on, it's only going to get worse. Like, he's not getting better.
He's not going to magically recover. Next game is what, Thursday? I think I accidentally said Tuesday. Today is Tuesday. They haven't set a time yet. You got to go down, close them out in Philly. You won a game down 100%. There. This is the first game they were able to win in Madison Square Garden. They have some confidence now. Embiid literally said that they were going to win the series. They're still alive. The last thing you need is for him to get a good night's sleep these next couple nights, heal up just a little bit, to give you a 50-point, 40-point game on top of a maxi 35, 40-point game. Like, this is the thing about the NBA, and we've talked about this a lot, and I know you know, Ben. Without Julius Randle, your second star, your second all-star, who is that guy with Jalen Brunson? It can't just be Brunson. Josh Hart's offensive game is just not there. OG Anunoby is not that guy either. If DiVincenzo... if he's not hitting shots, then it's like it's Jalen or nothing. offensively, and that's not the case. I mean, even with the 76ers, I gave a lot of props to Tobias Harris hitting shots. Kelly Oubre.
Tobias Harris had a big game.
Yeah, their role players stepped up on the road, do or die, and it wasn't all on Embiid. Tobias Harris had as many points as Embiid.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tobias Harris definitely had his best game of the series. He started off, he was a big part of that 10-2 run that the Sixers opened the game on. And then he was in the background for the rest of the game, but he was still there. He got a big bucket on OG late in the game. OG played really good defense, but Tobias got it over him. And then the last thing I want to say, if I'm Tibbs right now, I might consider starting Deuce McBride game 6 in Philly. He's been the best defender by far, and he's been the only one that's been able to keep Maxey at bay a little bit. And then for Devo, he hasn't gotten going. He hasn't shot well this whole series. I know he had the big shot in game 2, but he something's got to change.
Thanks for the call, Ben. Embiid had 9 turnovers. He absolutely melted, folded. He was not ready to play tonight. Tyrese Maxey was. Didn't want a season to end. And that's why you need a duo, a 1-2 punch in this league. There's got to be a tag team. 877-337-6666. Ryan is in Highlands, New Jersey, next up on the Fan. Go for it, Ryan.
Thank you. How are you, man?
I'm good. Just looking over the box score, I'm about to start hitting people with some facts. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. The Knicks, down the stretch, the free throws. That is crucial.
That was one of the points I was going to make here. I mean, you know, Hart, Brunson, everyone else, I mean, they're usually pretty automatic. You know, especially going down the stretch there, it was very disheartening to see. You know, the two things I wanted to get to, though, that has nothing to do with the team, it has to do with the coach. So I wanted to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously Maxey played lights out. I mean, he's been doing it the entire series. Why wouldn't we think about just putting him on the line during that last stretch there? And then also on top of it, even when he drilled it, why, you know, I want to let Brunson run. He can do whatever he wants. I get that. But also at the same time, why not call a timeout and slow it down for a second and draw something up? You know, it's just, you know, then we let him go into overtime. And obviously we all know the rest of the story. So.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Maxey, he was inevitable down the stretch. I don't think there was anything you could do. That three that he hit, it's like, you're not fouling him out there. This guy had 46, 9 assists, 5 rebounds. This guy played like the all-star he's supposed to be, literally saved Philadelphia's season. Maybe you have a different game plan or some way to try and stop him next game, but that is just a good performance out of a guy that didn't want to go home.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I mean, he was lights out all night. You know, he killed it. There's nothing I can say about it as a Knicks fan. I'm 36. You know, I remember I have a Patrick Ewing signed ball upstairs. You know, I've been waiting for them to close it out at MSG for quite some time.
They said it on the broadcast. They're like, this is going to be the first time since. No, it's not. That, you know, that Knicks fans could see them close the series at home. It did not happen. It looked like it was about to happen, even myself. I was waiting to drive in here when they made a run in the fourth quarter where they were up, I think, like 7 or 8 points. And I'm like, all right, they're good. They're going to close this out. No. Fouls, turnovers, missed free throws. Thanks for the call, Ryan. Tyrese Maxey, like, that's the thing. It's a make-or-miss league. This guy made his shots down the stretch. It's also a star-driven league. This guy has ascended as one of the most improved players in the league, so much so. You've seen so many different guys around Embiid, from Ben Simmons to Jimmy Butler to James Harden. Now it's Tyrese Maxey, and he just showed the world he's like that. I just saw the video of him after he sent it to overtime, how fired up he was. That was a man on a mission. Otto is in Ocean, New Jersey on the Fan. OT, what up?
What's up, brother? How you doing? I'm a big fan.
Thanks.
I won't lie to you, bro. I won't lie. This hurts. This hurts bad.
It's deflating.
I wanted Embiid out. I did. I'm tired.
7 points in 11 seconds.
Maxie was like an axe murderer tonight, and I put that on Thibodeau because
he shot
just
it
kept
from
thumbing.
The E in New York. His left foot is on the E.
Yeah, but still, my friend, I put it on Thibodeau.
There's blame to go around, but I usually just like to say, this guy, this is the reason. Sometimes these elite athletes like that, he didn't want his season to end. He didn't want to be off for the next 6-7 months, whatever it is.
Me and my boys on the group chat, as soon as it went to overtime, you just had that bad feeling. You knew you were taking an L, and I don't feel good about the series from here on out. I don't.
Wow, how quickly it changes from this morning, closing time, game five. We're going to be partying in the streets to hold on.
I want to go back to
Philly.
I want it bad, but this one hurts. This one hurts. I hate Embiid. Go screw yourself, Embiid. Go screw.
Thanks for the call, Otto. It wasn't even Embiid tonight. Embiid sold. He turned the ball over. He had nothing. He was hobbling around. He didn't hit his energy. He didn't look like he came to win tonight. Tyrese Maxey did. It's one guy. That's the guy you got to stop. You think your head coach isn't going to be up all night tonight, like losing sleep over that performance? How did we let this guy come into the Garden, drop 46 on us the night that we were supposed to close out, celebrate, kick our feet up, chill a little bit?
What I want to know, this is 20 minutes right after a devastating loss. You're still up 3-2. All the pressure, maybe back on the Knicks the rest of the way. We'll see. I don't know. That's what I would say. But for the purpose of tonight, did the Knicks lose this, or did Tyrese Maxey just have one of those nights where it doesn't even matter what Brunson and all the mistakes Brunson made tonight and all the missed free throws the Knicks had as a team and the bad Mitchell Mitch Robinson play?
Maxey was inevitable, but you gave him the opportunity. You gave him the lanes. You gave him the shots. You missed free throws, kept the game it was.
That three that tied the game, that's one of the more incredible shots I've seen.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous shot. I listened to it on the radio. I just saw it now, and I'm like, given the situation, cold-blooded,
that is
ice in his veins.
That's like...
Want to go home. I don't want my season to end.
And everyone talking about Anthony Edwards and how he's like the next guy. That's how you get there, by hitting those shots and having the confidence to hit that
in New York,
shot
everybody
at the
watching,
Garden.
Everyone knows your name now.
And by the way,
made man.
To be fair, he hit that shot with 9 seconds left. I believe the Knicks had one timeout or two timeouts left. Tibbs could have called a timeout to set up a play. I believe they had at least a timeout left. I got to check that, but I think they did. So you could have called a timeout to kind of slow everything down a little bit and set something up. He did it, and they just go with, a Jalen ISO with him throwing up a prayer, which, to his credit, he's hit about 40 or 50% of the time this year because Jalen Brunson has had an incredible season. But what a ridiculous night in New York sports. Ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going through now, and I'm looking at the end of the game when it was 96-90 Knicks. Maxey, three-point pull-up shot. Maxey, free throws. Like, this guy, he was locked. He did not miss as he got his 37th, 38th, 41st point. Like, he was locked. He was locked. Paul in Rochester, what's up, man? Tell us something.
Keith, it doesn't surprise me, and I didn't think the series would go less than 6 or 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
I think these teams are so evenly matched, and Maxey just showing that this is his coming out party, and he's showing how great he is. A great player,
yeah.
And this is his series, and he's showing. He's gonna get a big bank roll soon, and he deserves it. So anyway, I think the Knicks will still win the series because they have home court, but it wouldn't surprise me if it goes 7. And I think the crowd will be the difference in the seventh game if it goes there. But nothing surprises me. And these games are so close, and they come down to 2 or 3 plays that, again, that's basketball, and that's NBA playoff basketball. So,
yeah, thanks for the call, Paul. The Knicks crowd was into it tonight from the beginning. Booing Embiid, right? There's no way a Sixers crowd, a Philly crowd, can do anything in the Garden, and they weren't. Man, those tickets, the prices were ridiculous. Obviously, it's Madison Square Garden, it's New York. Now I'm thinking about Game 6 in Philly. Will we see Philadelphia show up to back their basketball team? Or will they just still say, we don't believe them. We don't believe that they can actually win. So from my notes, shout out to the guys at TickPick. They reported that the cheapest ticket for tonight's game at Madison Square Garden was $625 to see an overtime loss like that. It marks the most expensive first-round game ticket in TickPick's history. TickPick is a, you know, app that you can buy tickets off of. The cheapest ticket for Game 1 of last season's NBA Finals was almost half at $373. Here's something else before we go back to the phones. 877-337-6666. Yeah, Ian Begley said there were loud boos for Joel Embiid during intros. He hadn't heard them reach this level during intros since Kristaps Porzingis had his first game back at Madison Square Garden. And here's the little nugget for the Philadelphia folks that might be listening in, the WIPers who might be listening in right now. I saw Howard Eskin put this out. He said, and this was 2 days ago now, he said there's been a lot of bitching by Philadelphia fans and some Sixers Philadelphia players about the Sixers home games being overrun by New York Knicks fans. The Sixers organization is in big part to blame. Your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Sixers put thousands of tickets on ticket sites and above retail prices, knowing Knicks fans will buy them. The organization will likely push back on this, but for that organization, it's all about making every dollar. I have checked this out. It's fact. And they do know those stinking New York fans will be buying them. So if Sixers players are pissed, blame your own organization. Now, that was going into game 3 and 4. Will we see Philadelphia show up for game 6? I don't know. I think so, though. I think there's a better chance now, right? Especially because two reasons. Coming off of this game, they believe. And if this is potentially their last game in Wells Fargo Center for the year, there's more people that are likely to pull up for that. Or if that's the game for them to tie up the series. I don't know, man. It gets interesting. That's why these are 7-game series, not 5-game series. That's why we don't know anything, man. That game changed in the last 30 minutes. Not 30 minutes on the clock. I'm talking 30 minutes from like 9:30 to 10 o'clock. Ben is in Connecticut on the Fan. Tell us something, Ben.
How's it going, Keith?
All right, I guess.
Listen, I'm a diehard Knicks fan, and just another crushing loss tonight. I'm 30 years old, and so, you know, I was born in 94, and I've really never seen any good Knicks times. But to me, this is just one of those games, like, with a clear head. I just have to say, like, this is just a sad Knicks loss and a long line of sad Knicks losses, you know? It's not like I'm not, like, blaming the coach. I'm not, like, blaming, you know, specific players even. It's just a devastating defeat from a guy who just came in and hit a miracle shot at the end and I guess ran the house on us the last 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah, you tip your cap to him. That's a primetime player. That's a guy that refused to go home tonight. And as soon as you were thinking multiple times down the stretch, this is it. We got the game. We got the game. No, you don't. The game is not over.
Yeah, I was in the city watching tonight. And, I mean, as you can imagine, it was like, the place is absolutely rocking and rolling through the whole fourth quarter. And we didn't think it was over, but, like, you know, the place was going nuts with a minute to go, as you can imagine, like, basically celebrating and ready to hit 7th Avenue. And then all of a sudden, everybody's going home with an L, and, you know, we just can't believe it.
So the Knicks in 5 chants are done. Thanks for the call, Ben. Nobody's outside chanting Knicks in 5. That is not possible now. Knicks in 6. It rhymes, got a nice ring to it, and man, if you gotta go back down the turnpike, you wanna close it out. You should have closed it out tonight. You had it. They had it down the stretch. So many different ways. Make a stop, take care of the ball, hit your free throws. So many of these guys, like, let me go back to the box score. I mean, the Sixers didn't hit their free throws either. The Sixers shot 68%, the Knicks shot 66%. But when I go look at individual players, it's just down the stretch, those are the most important ones. Down the stretch, Brunson, these guys, even, man, you know, that's why Josh Hart, his offensive game, he's such a good player as far as his hustle, his rebounding, being a glue guy. But there's just so many little things in his offensive game. He missed 5 threes tonight. He shot 7 of 17. And some of those shots from point blank range, you got to have. And then when you make a possible 3-point play, you got to knock down the free throw. He missed 2 free throws tonight. Brunson missed 3 free throws tonight. Mitchell Robinson missed 2 free throws tonight. You add that up right there. They lost by 6. 877-337-6666. KM to 2 a.m. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. All the calls are Knicks. Good, because I don't want to talk about the Stankies. I don't want to talk about the Yankees offense or lack thereof. Oh, it's early, Keith. No, it's not early. It's about to be May in like 90 minutes. Everybody's got over 100 at-bats. At least the Mets won. The Mets said, no, no, no. 500? We're a game above.
Locked down by Dean Kramer.
What do you got to say about your Islanders? My Islanders? They're not my Islanders.
they were down 2-0 after 3 minutes tonight.
Yeah.
Came back 2-1. They were down 3-1 after 2, made it after in the second period, they made it 3-3, and then the Hurricanes scored 2 goals in the opening 4 minutes of the third period, and off you go. To be expected, we do now have confirmed Rangers Hurricanes next round. Don't know start times of that yet, but that will be a replay of the 2022
playoffs. Oh, baby!
I believe. So, as I said earlier,
competition.
A ton going on tonight, but obviously...
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Knicks lead the way.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
In back of short, Jeter on the run, makes a one-handed running catch, and dives into the photographer's area. Oh, what a play by Jeter. You can't believe it.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
We still hustle till the sun come up. Crack a 40 when the sun go down. It's a cold winter, and y'all better bundle up. And I bet it be a hotter summer. We hot now, listen up. It's the lock is down and throw away the key. Yo, I swear, yesterday, when one of the Knicks fans called and they were like, what's your pump-up song going into Knicks Sixers tomorrow? I'm like, I don't have a pump-up song to go into the game. I'm not a fan of either team. And then I was trying to think of an artist. I was like, I would play some Freeway. I would play maybe Freeway and Hove, which is Philly and New York. And without Paulie knowing that, he just read my mind and played that. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'm just taking in all the stuff on Twitter. Fans are upset, confused. And there's just a lot of crazy things that came out of the end of that game. So Paulie just put on my desk, Ian Begley reports, Sixers coach Nick Nurse injured his finger when he slammed his hand in frustration on a call during Sixers Game 5 at Madison Square Garden. Unclear if it is a break or sprain. Nurse couldn't draw plays in the second half because he couldn't grip a marker. So, I mean, he's compromised going into Game 6. He can't draw up plays. And speaking of drawing up plays and coaching, I saw Fred Katz put out a tweet. When asked if it was too early to foul up 3 on the possession where Maxey hit the game-tying 3, Tom Thibodeau says, we could have, but we'll leave it at that. It's in the past. Hindsight is 20/20. Didn't know this guy was going to hit a 35-foot shot from the E in New York. Heartbreaking loss. It's tough. Everybody was all in on Knicks in 5. We're going to be dancing in the street. That's it. Knicks advance. Stick a fork in him. Embiid's done. And Maxey's not done. Maxey didn't have a headache. He
didn't have an illness. No injuries to report. He put the team on his back. You tip your cap to a guy like that, but you also realize that the Knicks choked it away down the stretch. Missing free throws, turning the ball over, not being able to make shots, letting them stay in the game. This is a desperate team. This is a team that was, I don't know, seconds away from their season ending, and they refused. And you got to know when you're facing desperate teams like that, execution is paramount, and pressure gets to everybody. It's the Garden. It's the New York Knicks. This is not familiar territory for this team. And yeah, they blew it. But you know what? That's the series. And it's a seven-game series, and all of these games have been close. Some people might have said that the Sixers blew game two or the refs blew game two. Here we are now, heading back to Philadelphia, and we're heading back to the phones. 877-337-6666. Keith McPherson on the Fan till 2 a.m. Tim is in Norwalk, Connecticut. You got it, Tim.
Hey, we talked last night, and I was the one that asked you about the pump-up song. Totally forgot you were a Nets fan.
Perfect timing. I'm like, yeah, I'm not. I don't get pumped up for Knicks games. I don't get pumped up for Nets games.
Oh, my God. This might be, and I was just talking to my buddy who I grew up with. He lives in Albany now, so he was watching it on TNT. Couldn't get the MSG broadcast, but that might have been one of the toughest Knicks games to watch. One of the worst losses I've seen since, and that guy Ben from Connecticut, that he said he was only 30 years old, he doesn't know what it was like to watch basketball like in 99 and, you know, 94.
Most of these kids don't. That's why I've been telling everybody, let these kids party in the street. Let these kids enjoy things. They're not the ones making noise for Patrick Ewing in the arena. They didn't live that.
I know, but you know what? And I'm going to go with another song right now. I don't know if you know the song or whatever. I think it's Bryan Adams or the Eagles. In a New York minute, anything can change, and that's exactly what
happened. That is exactly what happened.
Oh, my God.
Not the Philadelphia Eagles, the band, the Eagles.
Oh, and it's just like, it's almost like some of these teams are cursed that we have. I mean, oh. It's crazy.
It's just
the energy. John Starks was more of a coach than Thibodeau tonight.
Frozen in the moment, you know?
Oh, man. Oh, it was a rough loss, man. I mean, thank God my Rangers are my number ones. We won't even get into the Yankees. I know it's the Yankees. Well, I know. But
Rangers got a tough series coming up, too.
I mean, right now, you talked also, I don't know if you remember, you talked to my girlfriend Sasha last night. I dared her to call you when you answered the phone and you were happy about a female caller calling and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, right now it's almost like I'm getting older now. And like you said, you know, you got your kid and everything and like that. And I'm making chicken franchise right now because she's getting home from work right now. So that's what I'm doing.
I can relate.
Right now. But Knicks are, we'll win in seven.
There it is, Tim. Good luck, man. I definitely can relate to getting older, having a wife, cooking dinner when your wife is coming home, taking care of the kid. And then when you look at these sports, man, you're just like, I don't know how much time I have to be such a diehard fan, to go to the games, to watch every game. I'm trying to win a championship. Is it this year or is it not? 877-337-6666. I mean, before you win the championship, you got to get out of the first round. Rob is in Queens. Rob, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so I wanted to call in about, you know, fouling for Maxey hit that last three. Obviously, you know, totally agree with you. You tip your cap to the guy. He had an incredible game, and he showed up when it mattered. But, you know, I'm one of those guys who, you know, if you have the ability to just end it right there, you know, you do whatever you can do. I know you mentioned that already, and you mentioned Tibbs' response, so understood. But also just wanted to mention Jalen Brunson, at the end of the game. You know, I love Jalen Brunson, obviously, you know, dude's carrying the team on his back. But I wanted to see some more involvement from, you know, some of our other guys. I know that that's probably a little crazy to say, you know, because you want the ball in his hands. But, you know, I think everybody knows that we want the ball in his hands. And I was hoping he would get a little bit more support towards the end of the game then.
Yeah, man. It's tough. Thanks for the call, Rob. You know, it's called winning time, right? Those last precious moments of the game, it's the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Your best players can fold in those moments. It's basketball. Like, basketball is like that. The ball bounces one way. You miss a free throw. Like, I'm looking, I'm going back to 15 seconds. Josh Hart, free throw, one of two. Josh Hart, free throw, two of two. He missed the first one. He hit the second one. And then there was 9 seconds. Tyrese Maxey, 34-foot three-point pull-up to make it 97-97. 1 second left after that. You just can't predict that. Maybe you could have fouled, but also, like, you tip your cap to guys. He made a shot. How many interviews you see? Paul George and Damian Lillard. That wasn't a good shot. He made a shot. Drops Mike. And at least it's not to end the series. Even in the Lakers series, Anthony Davis. Jamal Murray made a shot. Drops Mike. These guys make shots. That's what they're paid to do. That is their job description. And Tyrese Maxey, it is your night tonight. I'm definitely not giving you Casamigos' big shot of the night, but you were definitely the big shot tonight. Ross is in Bergen County on the Fan in New York again. Go for it, Ross.
What's going on, Keith? This is a total kick in the balls, bro, I swear.
Yeah, humble pie. It'll bring you back down to reality. Wait a minute now.
Yeah, man, you know what? Yeah, and you say the kids out, you know what, and Shannon and the Knicks and four. You know what? I think listening to Evan Roberts and Joe Beningo these last couple years, I may be 17 years old, but I'm seeing, you know, the years of agony Joe went through with his Jets. I've had that humble pie dude since tip-off in game one, dude. I'm
you're
not
understanding why these old steps. Men in our industry, they don't tempt fate. Okay. They don't get ahead of themselves. They don't chant anything.
On TV at the Met game last night, going back, Morash jinxed Severino last night and the Knicks tonight. And I know you and Paul, listen, you both were my guys. I cannot be more at a lockstep with you guys in terms of jinxing, Mawoiking, emotional, Licata is the epitome of it. I brought up last night, but dude, as far as this game goes, it's just good. You know what? You could talk about fouling and, you know, coaching, you know, thought process and all that. Just hit a goddamn free throw. And their percentage from the line tonight, I don't even think was as bad as it was out in Philly both games. I think they were like sitting at 30-35% tonight. It wasn't even half as bad. But situationally, what was it? OG and Hart were the two that missed it. Like,
yeah,
3 minutes
you,
left.
Down the stretch, you gotta have it.
It's these opportunities you get gift wrapped to you.
OG Anunoby with a minute left misses his free throw. Yeah.
Easy. And what did I bring up? Like a couple, I think it was with the Rangers I brought up with Washington. You may look at them as, you know, minuscule compared to you, but all you got to do is leave one little crack in that door is all it takes. Maxey, the four-point play, how genius is that? We saw Tree. We want to talk about Embiid, and he's 10 times worse and 15 times worse, you know, of a dirty player compared to Trae Young. But that's Trae Young's whole game 4 years ago was the foul bait and the hesitant shot and getting the extra, you know, on the, even from behind the arc, you get all the four-point plays. Maxey pulled it off tonight. Got to give him kudos. And then, like you said, the end, he had his left foot on the end, his right foot on the E. And that's basically karma for game two. Bringing up how, you know, in hindsight, we technically shouldn't have won game two, but you take your win and run. The Sixers, they take their win tonight and they run, but at the end of the day, it's a two-game series. I was talking to Paulie on the other side. The two-game series, you're going back to Philly. And I know you say it's MSG South, but now look, you have, you know, I'll go back to 4 years ago again. You had your bulletin board material with Clint Capella. You know, remember, what are you going to do about it? You did absolutely nothing. You let them walk your team, like a walk in the park for Atlanta. And now you got to, well, Paul Reed to start it off, which technically was right, you know, with the, we wanted the Knicks here, the easier matchup. And now with the Embiid, with the, oh, we're going to win this matchup. The guy couldn't even see out of both eyes, and he said that. So you know what, man? You got everything, you know, nailed to a bulletin board. All this material, all the, you know, these chips on your shoulder, and you're going to let them walk back into the series. When's game six? Couple days? You got it, Wells Fargo.
Thursday.
You know what, man? See,
and then game seven would be Saturday.
On the whistle, finishing the dunk. You know what, man? They sat easy. And that's the last thing. Look at Florida last year. Even look at 2016, OKC versus the Warriors, and the Warriors got their own humble pie 7 games later. Remember, back-to-back 3-1s, that's how Durant wound up in Golden State. You know what, man? All it takes is one glimmer of hope wasted, and that's what they did tonight. And if anything, I hate to say it, but I don't think it's the team sitting with 3 wins on their side that has all the momentum at the moment. I think, you know what, the Sixers are riding high. Who, you know, look at last year, even the Celtics. I know they didn't pull it off, but down 3-0 in game 7, they were favored. That's all it takes, man. One little glimmer of hope, and that's what the Knicks handed them tonight. It's sickening, dude.
Thanks for the call, Ross. I don't completely agree with you. I still think that the Knicks have the upper hand. I think that they had it in this game. They crumbled. They folded late. And going back to Philly, let's see. Obviously, Maxey is king of the world. I definitely think Tobias Harris is back in the series, has some confidence. Kelly Oubre. It's going to rest on Embiid. Is Embiid hobbled? Is he not physically able to go on anymore? Because that's what he looked like tonight to me. To me, I'm watching Embiid. I'm like, this is a guy who knows even if they are to survive this series, he's got nothing in the next round. But what do you always hear me say about the NBA playoffs? Injuries is like at the forefront. It's like the main thing. Everybody has injuries. Look at the Bucks tonight. Giannis and Dame out. Right? So the Pacers waltz into there like, oh yeah, we're about to clean y'all up. Done. Gentlemen sweep, brooms. And Kristaps Porzingis. Last night, calf injury. Okay, I still think that the Celtics are going to be fine, but that changes what they can do and who they are on the floor. And then with the Knicks, you don't have Julius Randle, first off. And then in this series, Mitch has the ankle injury in game three, and now Bojan Bogdanović goes down in game four, and you're kind of looking like, what's going on? Look at the head coach of the Nick Nurse got hurt. Who's this that just went down? everybody's getting hurt. I'm looking at the Suns Timberwolves game, and Chris Finch got hurt. They had to walk him off the floor. I don't mean to laugh, but like everything I say about injuries is coming into play. Let's see who's healthiest for game six can have their best game. The Knicks, they got to lock up. They got to lock in. They should have had this game tonight. That is a tough pill to swallow, especially if you went in there tonight, dropped $1,000 thinking you were going to see the Knicks close out a series in the Garden for the first time in decades or whatever it's been, you know? 877-337-6666. Jack is in Jersey on the Fan in New York. Go for it, Jack.
Hey there, Keith. How's it going tonight?
All right. Just trying to gather all of the NBA information on top of everything that just transpired in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, well, it's been a really good show so far. I've been having a good time listening so far.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to call in and talk about two comments, actually, that were already covered. One being that was such a tough loss to watch, one of the hardest finishes to ever watch, considering the swing that happened at the end there. And then the second, which the comment I really wanted to get at, was the foul that Mitch Robinson committed with they were up six. And then I think the risk-reward there to let that go to a three-point game there instead, you know, you get the luxury at that point to then miss the free throw. And you know, Josh Hart would be up. We'd be up four at that point. And I think the point I really wanted to get at after that was that the team just, you know, didn't really show that they were deep enough when Brunson was off the floor, when he didn't have his flow going. So I think the final story is the final moments and OT, but, you know, the Knicks got to just go fight one more game, and, you know, Philly got a steal, which the Knicks had a few of tonight. So I feel like the series is truly even right now. Anyone's game here.
It is. It is. Thanks for the call, Jack. I mean, I think the Sixers will probably be favored in their building. I mean, the Knicks were favored tonight, minus four. You can't call it, man. There's just so many different breaks. Like, I was sure the Knicks were winning the game. When I left my house, I was sure the Knicks were winning the game. When I parked my car at WFAN, I was listening to the call. Sure, the Knicks were winning the game. I step in here. The Maxey shot happens. I'm like, oh, no. Then they go up five in overtime, and I'm thinking the Knicks are winning the game. So That's a tough loss for the Knicks and the Knicks fans, because there were probably five times down the stretch where you're like, celebrating, we got it, we're good, here it comes, series over, not so fast. Jay in Stamford, what's up, Jay? You got it, go
hey,
for it.
Thank you, thanks for the call, just mm-hmm. driving back from the game, and really it's crippling a defeat as there is. You know, I think one of the problems we don't talk about enough with the Knicks is just like the lack of a supporting cast right now. I mean, I think you had Hart 1-for-7 from three. Dante was a no-show, 1-for-6 from three. And look, too much pressure is on Brunson. In that last minute, you just had way too many things go the Sixers' way. Look, as many things as went our way game two, you'd say it was kind of equally the same in game five tonight. But look, you know, it's kind of welcome to being a Knicks fan, right? We're kind of used to misery. But look, it's one game.
Yeah,
Knicks fans got to show up and do what they did in game 3 and 4, get to MSG South, and look, we got to split the next two. I think that's the way that we need to look at it.
Yeah, well, just win the next one. You don't need to split them. Just go win the next one in Philly and end it on their turf. You're up.
Look, if you're going to make noise, if you're going to make noise in the playoffs and make a deep run, look, you got to battle. Embiid was it with maybe a minute and a half to go hobbling. I mean, he's I can't. Even
he was there. He's still hitting shots. He's still making plays, even though he can barely run and get down the floor. He's still a presence, man. And going back to what you were saying, I kind of opened up saying, you know, that's why you miss a Julius Randle, who is the Robin to Jalen Brunson's Batman, because tonight Batman was hobbled and Robin saved the day. Robin being Maxie, he absolutely won the game for them.
Yeah, just incredible play from Maxie. And look, it just boils down to look for this team in clutch time. We don't hit our free throws.
Yeah, that's tough. Thanks for the call, Jay. I mean, that's what it comes down to: turnovers, missed opportunities at the free throw line. And crumbling in the moment, not fouling, not executing. And before you know it, a desperate team on their last leg, not trying to end their season, not trying to feel that bus ride home, that misery of, okay, we are now done for May, June, July, August, September. Don't come back until 6 months in October. They live to fight another day. And on the other side, I think the Knicks and the Knicks fans, and it's okay because this is what happens. You're up 3-1. You have the home court advantage. You're planning the after party. You're planning on dancing in the streets, chanting, "We want Boston, Knicks in 5. Now you got to put a pause on that. Now the series just changed again. This is a team with some guys that are veterans. This is a coach with a lot of experience. And they're not going quietly. I mean, they have the reigning MVP. Even though he's on one leg, he proclaimed that they would still win this series because he felt they're the better team. They still don't respect the New York Knicks. 877-337-6666. Like, talk about a must win. I think the next one is the must win. You couldn't close them out. You had them, whatever. Man, you don't want to get to a game 7. That game 2, I was on that night, and I said, man, the Garden was alive. The basketball gods were with the Knicks. The opposite happened tonight. They were with the Sixers tonight. The Sixers got all the breaks. Just how the ball bounces or how it doesn't bounce in your way, in your favor. Let me see if I can get another call or two in before we go to the break. John is in Elizabeth, New Jersey on the Fan. Go for it, John.
Hey, good buddy. Just want to holler at you real quick. I'm going to tell you something. These Soul Brothers on the court tonight. Now, I'm going to tell you, Maxie probably should have been playing with the Knicks because Bronson does.
He should have been on the Nets. The Nets should have never accepted a Ben Simmons trade without that kid in it. Seriously.
But McBride, hey, you know what the guy said the other night? He says, "I'd rather be a lion being followed by a bunch of donkeys than a donkey leading a bunch of lions." You know what I'm saying? Mm. So it's tough to be out front no matter who you are. But we just want to give it an all out that when they get to Philadelphia, it needs to go. Listen, you know what I am? I'm a supporter of the supporters. You know who the supporters are in this league? The people who park your cars, pick up all your trash after the game, mm-hmm. the guys that have to serve you during halftime, the guy that has to clean the bathroom. He need a gig when he go home. He needs somebody to go the next week to get another check. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I support Philly. I support the Knicks. And I support the whole, what do you call it?
The supporters
that
support.
Commerce. The commerce.
The business the commerce, of basketball.
The cavalry. The commerce cavalry.
Yes, sir. I mean, that goes back to what I'm saying about the business of the NBA. And, I mean, I'm slightly a conspiracy theorist because I think that they want these series to go 7 games. I started my show tonight looking at the NBA and the standings and telling you, hey, OKC swept. That series is over. Minnesota swept. That series is over. When you look at the Lakers series, that series ended last night. The Nuggets with the gentleman sweep. The Miami Heat are about the gentleman sweep. Now, Cleveland leads the series 3-2. That series was tied. Now, Cleveland has the advantage. I think that the Pacers are about to gentleman sweep and end that series tonight without Giannis and Dame. They're about to pack the Bucks up. And now here we have a 3-2 series where this might go seven, and it's in two major markets for basketball, New York and Philadelphia. And like John and Elizabeth just said, he supports the supporters. Well, they got an extra game in Philly. There might be another game in New York if this thing goes seven. Let's go from John and Elizabeth to John and Westwood before we break. John, you're on the Fan. Go for it, man. You got it.
Hey, Keith. How's it going tonight?
I mean, good, but could be better, you know?
Yeah. So you call it the mush, the Malloy curse, whatever you want to call it. I'm in the car. I'm listening to the MSG broadcast. 28 seconds left. Up six. Monica McNutt says,
yeah,
absolutely, barring anything insane, the Knicks look real good right now. They have no concerns. This should be it. Like, this is it. Boom.
Yeah,
they come back from the break. Three-pointer, foul, four-point play. Game completely changed. And I know it has no bearing on the actual game and the actual players.
One of those things.
When you're a Knicks fan and you're feeling it and you're right there, I said, this is it. Game over. I don't care if it goes to overtime or not. Done.
They spoke on as well, because I was driving and listening to the same broadcast. They spoke on the Knicks closing out a series at home in the Garden for the first time since whenever that was in the late 90s.
Yeah.
I'm like, this isn't done yet. But you speak on it, and there's higher powers involved. And
she literally said it. They come back, they hit the four-point play, and I tweeted at her, what's next? Are you going to call a perfect game too, or what?
Thanks for the call, John. I know people were mad at Howie Rose yesterday.
Yeah, and I can't stand people who believe in jinxes and good luck.
Yeah, it's not
and
a thing.
And you saw when the game first started, everyone complaining about the court tonight because they didn't like it was a different
court.
The City Edition court they didn't like. Real quick, Mitchell Robinson on fouling Tyrese Maxey on the four-point play late in regulation when it was 96-90, that made it 96-94. I effed up. So that was a direct quote from Mitchell Robinson on the play. So he knows that he messed up. Now,
accountability.
That shouldn't make Knicks fans feel any better, but
this is New York. The guy's being accountable, and he's taking blame. Now, at halftime, at Fiserv Forum, the Milwaukee Bucks actually lead the Pacers. I'll keep an eye on that. I know it's only the first half, 53-48. I still think that Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers close them out tonight without the two best players on the team, and then that series ends. And then there aren't that many series left in the first round. The NBA wants that money. They want that dollar. Those TV games cost money. These ticket sales, I mean, you think they don't want a Game 7 in the Garden? It costs $625 to get the cheapest ticket tonight. So what is Game 7 going to be? $1,000 to get in? No. Believe what you want to believe. I believe that the Knicks were going to win in five. I've been saying that since the play-in game. I thought that they had this game tonight, but doesn't matter what you and I think. Doesn't matter what the announcers say. It matters about those guys on the floor hitting shots, not turning the ball over, fouling, executing, inbounding the ball, playing defense. And, man, I can only imagine. It's hard enough to play street pickup ball with strangers. Nobody watching. I bet it is a ton of pressure and anxiety and just, you know, freezing up in the moment in the Garden when you've got the energy of, you know, 20,000 Knicks fans ready to move on to the next round, and it doesn't happen. And now back to Philly we go. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Coming
up, Keith?
Yeah.
The Mets tonight had a promotion, a dollar hot dog night.
Oh, I saw Steve Gels dressed up like a hot dog.
That was the reason why. And it was because the Seymour guy.
Oh, Seymour Wiener.
Seymour Wiener. And they did a dollar hot dog night. How many hot dogs do you think they sold? I'm assuming you haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen the number yet, but they did this in Toronto, and it was thousands. It was like a six-digit number. This is a six-digit number?
No, it is not a six-digit.
I don't think it's got the same pull in Queens. But they broke 1,000.
They cleared it's a 5-digit number.
So I'm going to guess they did 6,200.
44,269 hot dogs they sold. They sold 44,000 glizzies tonight.
The glizzy gobblers showed up. $44,000,
by the way, the Mets made off hot dogs tonight. That has nothing to do with the Knicks game tonight, except for the fact that both the Mets and the Knicks were orange and blue.
The rich only get richer, Steve Cohen and the glizzy gobblers. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Coming up next, my Casamigos big shot of the night. I've got 3 hours to go, taking your calls on the Knicks, and eventually we'll get to the Yankees and the Mets and the Islanders as well, and we'll start looking at Rangers, Hurricanes. The Rangers handle business. They're in the second round. They're good. It's going to take a little while for the Knicks to get there. We'll see. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this.